The remote would be in one hand, a mug of coke in the other, and he would be cursing at the new batsman for playing a loose shot. Move your bloody feet, get into line, ugh, hit the ball for Christ's sake. Dappled late afternoon sunlight would be streaming through the arches of the veranda, illuminating the purple crests of the mountains behind and setting on the wheat fields of the farms in the valley below. Those farms could have been on fire for all my parents knew. Oh, that, my mother finally said, her voice fading through the static. Yes, well, it doesn't look very good, does it? I guess we're just going to have to wait and see. Wait and see didn't seem a wise option to me. I told her I thought it best they pack up fast and lie low, whether in Mutare, the closest town, in another valley over the mountain pass 19 kilometers away, or even better, across the border in Mozambique. Mozambique. It sounded absurd just suggesting it. Mozambique had been at war for most of my childhood. People fled Mozambique for our side of the border. But like the seasons, in Africa the state of nations turns and occasionally comes full circle. Yes, Mozambique. Anywhere would be safer than Zimbabwe. But my parents, I discovered on that phone call, were not going anywhere. Darling, my mother said, don't be ridiculous. We are Zimbabweans. This is our land. And then I heard steel in her voice, fury rise in her throat. Over my dead body will they take this place. Over my dead body. By the time I put down the phone, my mother was asking me how I was and when I was going to come and visit again. She had the stoic, breezy air of someone who had lived through a lot and expected to live through this too. She had seen worse. How are they? My friend asked when I returned to the party. They're watching cricket, I said. They have no idea what's going on. Chapter 2. If we build it, they will come. The plane dropped out of a cloud and arrowed in on a black strip bordered by wilted maize fields. A mid-morning glare rippled the wings and glinted off the few modest skyscrapers of Harare, the capital city. Exiting the aircraft, I was smacked square in the face by the bright fist of an African sun. My pasty skin, from another English winter, told me I was a foreigner in my own country. My travel document said the same thing. After 9 years in London, I'd finally qualified for a British passport and put my useless Zimbabwean one, the old green mamba, back in my desk drawer. At last. No more interminable queues for visas in the second-rate consulates of the first world countries I really wanted to be visiting at that time. Yet I couldn't help feeling a slight flush of embarrassment as I handed it to the immigration official. You lose something of yourself when you return to the country of your birth under the convenience of another. The officer thumbed through it with exaggerated indifference. Occupation? I could have said journalist, the title I usually gave myself as a struggling freelance writer in London, and I was here on an assignment from a British newspaper to write about the upcoming presidential elections. But it wasn't a good time to be coming into Zimbabwe as a journalist. The Mugabe government was detaining reporters, expelling foreign correspondents, rejecting media visas. It had recently firebombed the offices of a local newspaper. Cocktail bar critic, I said, repeating what I had written on the form. It sounded ludicrous, but it wasn't even a lie. I had found a rewarding sideline over the past 3 years, reviewing fashionable cocktail bars around the world for the website of an Irish whiskey company. I had a slick, laminated business card. I could even give him the web address if he needed it. Besides, I was much more of a travel writer anyway, a leisure and lifestyle guy. Not the fearless kind of foreign correspondent Zimbabwe clearly needed right now. You're not coming to write anything on our elections? He inquired. No, Shamwari, I'm a Zimbabwean, just visiting my parents in Mutare. He looked me up and down, weighing my threat to national security. Then he laughed. Mutare, a beautiful town. Have a good holiday. Outside the terminal, the familiar scent of diesel, wood smoke and ripe fruit floated on the hot, dusty air. Already the grimy chill of London, which I had left only 24 hours earlier, seemed a lifetime and a world away. I didn't have money for a hired car, so I woke a taxi driver I found asleep on the hood of his clapped-out Datsun 120Y and got him to drop me 16 kilometers down the Harare.